There's something in front of us that wants to take a halt and pull the load for us because we were never designed to pull the load. So unhook the plow. Allow yourself to be free from anything that's bothering you, anything that's probably persuading you to go one way or the other, away from the cross of Christ, the true power of His resurrection, whatever's drawing you away from that, whether it's distrust or what it is. Unhook the plow. There's a man in the Bible that I believe is a great example of that we can fill the shoes of. And his name is Simon of Cyrene. If you go to Luke 23, we don't really have a lot of information on Simon of Cyrene. Thank you, Lord. It's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. It says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Now what we see in Simon of Cyrene's life is that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. It's kind of a funny name, but Rufus maybe. Maybe he was roughing it, I don't know. But, you know, if you search that, I believe you'll find both of them had become spiritual sons under the Apostle Paul. But Simon of Cyrene was coming in from the country. You know, in the book of Acts, it says that people from Cyrene, they followed the group. They were God-fearing Jews. So my question is for Simon of Cyrene, why was he coming in from the country when this was taking place? There's only two things that I can think of, and that's one, that he was busy. Or the other, it was the place where he was to fulfill his calling of life. Because something changed. I believe something here changed in Simon of Cyrene. Because in the scriptures, we see where Jesus was beaten, battered, and torn. Heavy abuse on him. I really don't know the distance from the time Jesus wore the stake that he was beaten, from the time where he was crucified at the place of the skull called Golgotha. I don't know the distance, but I'm guessing it was a ways. I'm guessing he carried the cross a long ways. For we see in the book of John, we see no representation of Simon of Cyrene. Where I believe the book where John was, I believe he couldn't see what was taking place through Simon of Cyrene. Why? Because he was traveling to get to the next spot where he could see Jesus coming by with the cross. Like the way another brother had put it, you know, we see the gospel written as in different forms. Often our flesh wants to say, well, it contradicts itself. Well, this one doesn't say that and this one does. But really, they were in different areas of their lives. They're at the same ball game, but they've seen it differently. So I'm thinking Simon of Cyrene was coming in. And they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. You know, I just see that when, you know, Jesus was, you know, if we didn't have a movie, would we believe this? If we didn't have a movie to watch, would we really believe this? If we didn't have a song to go by, would we really believe? But I see Simon of Cyrene coming in from the country, and obviously the Roman soldiers see that Jesus is weak, and he can no longer carry the cross. But he picks this man, they grab this man, and then and they say, "You carry it. You carry it for him." So Simon of Cyrene picks up his cross, you know, and that's why you got to be careful with some movies. But we pick up Simon of Cyrene picks up this cross, and Jesus is where? Jesus is walking ahead of him. He is walking behind Jesus. The King James Version says he is walking after. I see that. I see that as the aftermath as well, that there are many going to follow me. They will pick up their cross and follow behind me. They will follow the way that I went. They're going to suffer persecution. Why is it that we'll go into the world and we'll become tainted like the world, but then when we realize that the enemy has whipped us and beat us, and possibly we've been hurting and battered and bruised, then we come crying back. But then we go out into the world, and then we become tainted. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yep. This is the message that is misprinted today. We got this message of you can be the world and you can be fine, where we got this guideline, we got this manual of life that says differently. It says if you will follow who? Me. Jesus. Jesus is saying that. There's a cry in the Spirit and I'm picking it up. And it's saying, come out from among them and be separate. That's what the Word says. God's crying it out. Come out from among them and be separate. We don't hear that, but it has to start in here, so we'll believe it and we'll live it. We see this man, this man that represents us, Simon of Cyrene. He picks up this cross and he carries it for Jesus. And he's carrying his cross. I wonder what's going through Simon of Cyrene's mind. I'm carrying this cross for this guy. I mean, look at him. Look what they've done to him. What did he do wrong? He lived a life of fulfillment to Scripture, but he lived the life of who we represent. You know? So we see Simon of Cyrene carrying this cross. You know, I was put in front of a teacher, and I don't know if you can find this in the Scripture or not, or whether it was revelation that just come from him. I don't know. I watched it a long time ago. But he had a revelation of the Roman soldier that built the cross that Jesus was to hang on. And as he was building the cross, he was saying to himself, man, if this man really gave it all, you know, he's building the cross, he's constructing it. If this man really is the Messiah, if this man really is the one that took the load for me to live a life free from the bondage of sin, and I'm building this cross for him to hang on, can you see the conviction that just came from building the cross to this man? That something was changing in his life. There was a guilt. Come on, we got to see that somebody built the cross that Jesus hung on. It just didn't go, whoop, here it is. No, somebody built this cross that Jesus hung on. You know, so oftentimes, you know, you think to yourself, what went through this man's mind? You know, but I see it like this, that he started to transform. And as the question came forth through him, if I'm building this cross for this man to hang on, what's going to happen to me? Have you truly said it's finished? What's holding you back? Because I also see it like this.
We're all building the cross that Jesus was crucified on. And we got Jesus, picture a cross here, and we got Jesus laying on the cross. And we got his hand pinned down here, and we're saying, there, your hand is there, so you'll no longer touch what, or no longer, so you no longer will touch my life. There, your hand is there, so you'll no longer point in the direction that you think I need to go. And as the crown of thorns I place on you, as the blood runs into your eyes so you can't see what I'm doing. Oh yeah, your feet. Your feet will no longer, I will no longer follow the path that your feet want me to follow. But really, we need to get it right. And we need to build a cross for ourselves. And we need to get on that cross. And we need to say, yes, Lord. I'm here. I'm willing. And I'm ready to be the work that you created me to be. So therefore I say, have your way. And he said, all the times that you pounded on the stakes, for when you pressed the crown of thorns down upon my head, I cried out, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in return, I say this, let's nail our hand to the cross. And say, I will no longer touch things that you don't want me to touch. Nail this hand down and say, I will no longer be a condemner, but I will lead them to redemption. And oh yeah, the crown of thorns, I say, place on my head so the blood of Jesus runs down my eyes and blinds me of old ways of living, but will renew me and bring me forth into new ways of life. And I say, oh yeah, stake my feet to the cross, Father God, so I will forever go into your direction. And let's not forget the spear that will pierce me in the side. For the blood of Jesus has made me new, and I've been brought forth through the power of his resurrection of repentance. But the water represents that I will say, I'm dying to that old man, and I'm going to rise up just like you. And when you said it's finished, I will come into agreement with it being finished, Lord. And I will say that the old is gone and the new has come. I will no longer be led by my spirit, but I'll be led by your spirit. Come on. I say, come out from among them. There's no good in them. Come out! I put that in the spirit today. I'm not hollering at you. I'm putting it forth in the spirit today because that's my cry, because that's where I was. I whipped and beat Jesus myself. And you can't tell me you haven't. Or you're a liar because the word states different. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Where's his glory? It comes through the cross of Christ. Get back to the cross! That's where it started. That's where it was finished. Come out from among them. Come out! You know, we're stuck. The world church is stuck at repentance. Repentance was never meant to just be a ritual. It was meant for to bring forth deliverance of what? Old ways. The book of Hebrews states, let's move on from the elementary teachings of repentance and human rituals. Come on! Go to 2 Corinthians.
You know, I told you this before, but our oldest son had kept a journal through the services that he went to. And the last thing he wrote in his journal before he got double vision, couldn't write anymore, was God is always faithful. He's never late and he's never wrong. But he's walked out his part of the covenant. Now it's my turn to walk out mine. It's a two-part thing. But God will meet you wherever you're at. God will meet you. Aren't you glad that God isn't a condemner? That because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, that he's a redeemer, he fixes things? 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you, Lord. Mine has headlined there, warning against idolatry. I think the New King James is be holy, I believe. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Amen. Now, this is the word. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Who is that? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing the name right. Belial. Who is that? It's Satan. So what harmony is there between Christ and Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Get back to the cross and preach that. Preach it. But we can't preach it if we don't live it. Otherwise, you're a false hope. You're a false teacher. You're a false example. That's why the message today is steadfast and backsliding. There's something in there for you to figure out, which is the balance. But I like it, Region 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Contaminating body and spirit. You know, I sat down with a young lady and she shared some things with me that I thought, you know, that's pretty good that God revealed that to you. That means your walk is becoming established. But what she revealed is that I got to get myself out of the way. 'Cause I'm selfish. It's tough to tell yourself that you're selfish. It's tough to tell yourself that you're in the way. So come out from among them and be separate. He's calling us to get things right. He's calling us to get things right. I just want to have you pass this around so everybody gets a chance to look at it. I think oftentimes we become numb due to circumstances of life and so forth and so on. But I'm just led to tell you that don't focus on the circumstance that can change your life. Focus on the circumstance that will change your life. You hearing me? Come out. Come out from among them and be separate. Try not to read the bottom of it, TJ. But I know it's interesting. I just want people to look at the picture on there, I guess. Yeah. I'm just searching. I just really sense that something is breaking in the atmosphere. I thank God for that. You know, I received revelation of the lady with the alabaster jar. And I was able to share that with a few people now. But I just see, you know, myself as a lady, of course. Not that I'm trying to become a lady or anything. That'd be weird, right? Probably fit in today's world. But, you know, the alabaster jar, to me, represents the huge mess that I had going in my life that I created myself. And for the huge mess, you know, as I would make a mess, it would pile upon the other mess, and as I would make another mess, it would pile on, and it was just a big mess. But, you know, the Lord had given me this example of, man, your mess is so big, you needed a piece of equipment to help you clean it up. You know, and I just envisioned myself, you know, jumping in a skid loader and pushing this stuff up on the mound, and Lindy in the background saying, "You're gonna need a bigger piece of equipment than that." You know, and as I maybe jumped into like a payloader or something and started to clean up the mess, Howard, he was in the background saying, "I pray, Lord, that you open up both these eyes." But oh, those are, Howard and Lindy are very special in my life because they were probably two of the closest people, and I treated neither one of them very well. As a younger brother, you'd think a younger brother would listen to an older brother, but, you know, I was very disrespectful to you, Howard. I just want you to know that. But praise the Lord, God fixes that stuff. But anyway, not everybody has seen this picture, but I'm just going to have to introduce it, I guess. On that picture, you're going to find an old tractor that Case brought out, and it was their top seller in 1915 to 1923. If I'm remembering the picture right, there was no rubber on the wheels. They were steel wheels. You know, I sat with an individual, and he had said that, you know, the huge rush of rubber tires came in the 1950s, and I just see that as another way for people to have a comfortable ride. But what happened was is the tires wore out on the vehicles, and the vehicle would sit in the garage or in the yard, jacked up on blocks because they couldn't afford to put tires on them. You know, so I just see something that comes into existence that man has brought in, and just another failure. You know. But anyway, that was in 1915 when that tractor came out. I just really realized that I'm a man that brings forth the conception of time in my ministry, and I want everybody to realize what time is. You know, with God, there is no time but now and today. So, but for centuries, we've seen the main source of transportation is mules and donkeys and horses and our feet. But in the last 100 years, we see the vehicle come in. We see airplanes come in. Now we see we can just transport whatever we want. Well, yeah, I don't feel like telling them to their face. I'll just text them, you know, or whatever. You know, don't get me wrong, texting can be used in a great way. I don't have a cell phone. I don't even know how to text, but for good purposes. But I just see, you know, it's another way of living a secret life. Careful little eyes what you see. Come on, I'm serious. It's all in the Word. I think these are things that we need to come into alignment with, because God wants to use each one of us in a mighty way. We might just brush through life and think that, man, I'll do it in a few years or so forth and so on. You know, I lost two cousins. I lost two best friends. And they were no older than 22 or 23. I think Ryan was 23 maybe. But two of them were 19. One of them was 18. You know? My son was 21. But I praise the Lord that we were able to know some things and for what he knew as well. But I think the Bible says to examine ourselves in many ways. And I just pray that the example that I brought forth today really sets in. Because oftentimes we got the whip. Really, we were to take the whipping. We're to suffer just as he did. How? By doing good. The world has made eunuchs out of men. You know why Philip and the eunuch is such a powerful message? You know? The eunuch stated that with water baptism, the eunuch stated that his life represented the world took his power of a man. But really, he was getting his power. You know, that's good. So why do we want to live powerless when we can be powerful? In Christ. So anyway, my reason for sending that picture around is this. Something is happening in a matter of time. I believe God gave me a vision of an hourglass. and there's not much sand in the top. And as the sand comes forth, if you tipped up an hourglass, as the sand begins to come forth, it slowly goes. But as the lesser the sand in the top, the faster it goes through. And I asked the Lord, I said, what is it with the rest of the sand? Is that the people? No. He said, these are the rest of the days of your life. But your time is short. For I'm speeding up time for my purpose. So we see, if you want to go through the years of the Bible, we see 56 centuries where we rode donkeys and mules and horses, and as it was our form of agriculture and so forth and so on. But now we got everything at our hand. It's kind of like the Tower of Babel. For I'm with Pastor Daniel, that was for here from Africa. America, you have too much. America, you have too much. If you want to study and read where we're going, I believe Revelation 18 states where we're going. Talks forth on Babylon. And I believe Babylon possibly represents America. It says, come out from among them. Don't partake in their sins. I never created you to be that way. But why do we live that life so long? Why do we become so stiff-necked? I'm speaking for myself, man. I lived 40 years of that crap. Literally, dung is what it was. You know? Man, I married my wife. I married Jesus. I left them both at the altar. Crushed my family. Why? Because of myself. So I just want to say that, you know, I know some of you were up to Timmy's meetings and stuff. And I can pray with you today too. But it's exactly what David Ravenhill spoke to us at one of his services. Is we can whip your giant. We can. I have full confidence in that. Why? Because I come with the name above all names. And I've surrendered my life to his. Therefore, I can whip your giant. But you got to do something. Your giant might be boldness that you don't have. You might be battling timidity. God never gave you a spirit of fear. Gave you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind to do the works that I've created you to do. So I think in Proverbs 4, I'm just going to read it over you guys. You know, some might think, you know, when somebody's up here giving a message and preaching this way, you might be saying in yourself, yeah, what does that person know? Really, in all honesty, I know I was one of them. My buddy had given a message. What he brought forth, I didn't like. And I remember we were driving home, and then he was like, oh, Aaron, what did you think of the message? And I was like, what? She's like, geez, you know, weirdo, you know? But I was ticked off. Why? Because he brought from something forth. Not him, but the Holy Spirit brought something forth that pricked me. Went home, found a little New Testament guy in the junk drawer. Did you catch that? In the junk drawer. And I started digging. And I remember we were at work and I said, Spencer, here it is. This is what he's talking about. It's right here. You know? But it forced me to dig. It forced me to dig.
But when I dug, I found answers and lost myself. But I'm a work in progress, but it's a finished work. Right here. It's a finished work. But in Proverbs 4, I think we need to come into agreement with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Do you know what wisdom, what the spirit of wisdom is? It's to fear the Lord. In respect and awe. Respect of who and what He's done from the creation of time, before it began to the end. In the awe of His awesomeness, His splendor and His glory. I'm sorry, but no man could ever patternize the sky. Yet we just throw it by the wayside. The book of Romans says we are without excuse. Excuse of what? Believing the way we are supposed to live. To take our position in the kingdom of God. We're in 4:7. It says the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Because once you get wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. What is the spirit of understanding? It's to shun evil. Amen. I'm not telling you something, I'm making it up. It's in the book of Job. Job 28:28, write it down and find it. Read it for yourself. You'll find wisdom and you'll find the spirit of understanding. It's called revelation. Book of Ephesians. For I pray that you receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Understanding. So in verse 20, I'll start. This is what I'm supposed to read over. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. And be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So I just pray, Father God, as we go forth from this day, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we realize what took place on the cross, that we truly staked ourselves to the cross. And we just believe that through true repentance, Lord, that you're bringing forth the true goodness in our lives, that we will no longer veer to the left and we will no longer veer to the right. And Father God, I pray for the ones that are sitting idle, that you put them in gear, Lord. And for the ones that are sitting in first gear, that you're a three-speed transmission, Father God. And I just ask that you bring forth the shifting of the gears, that they will not clutch you anymore, that they will not break you anymore, that they'll press on the accelerator and they'll go the direction in the speed that you wanted them to go. Father God, I just say, have your way in us. And I just say, come out from among them and be separate. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you want to be a father to us. But strengthen us and show us your ways. Teach us your ways. Father God, I ask that you remove the callous from any hearts. I ask that we receive that heart of flesh, that heart of Jesus, and that He is truly alive, and that I don't have to pull the load, for your Holy Spirit will direct me and counsel me and guide me. And that your drawing will pull the load for us. Lord, I ask for protection over what you've established in each one of us. And you might be stuck at an area of when you were small where you just received. Or you may have operated for a little while and then said, the heck with it. Or maybe you're in that area of, yeah, I know all that, but what of it? Or maybe you're in that area where I've prayed for that for years and I never seen it pass. Well, I just say we serve a God of hope that brings life in abundance, and He wants us to prosper in all He has for us. For we are called the riches of His glorious inheritance. Show us ways, Father, to become steadfast. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. So I just pray that you can say no to ungodliness, just like me. I pray that we can learn to trust Him. Whenever in doubt, get to the cross. I'm telling you. Amen. Well, I just pray that you have a great week. And today is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah.